الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يريدون أن يطفئوا نور الله بأفواههم ويأبى الله إلا أن يتم نوره ولو كره الكافرون رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم Respected علماء كرام, brothers and elders, we are living in an era where Islam is feared for all the wrong reasons. In the earlier days, Islam was feared because it stood up for peace and justice and the truth. People recognized it to be the true religion of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Maybe there were enemies, but they were enemies for the wrong reasons. Today as well, it's quite different why people are fearing Islam and Muslims. It may be the fault of the Muslims, but more than that, it is due to a term which is quite common in the Islamic world known as Islamophobia. As you all know, phobia means fear. And Islamophobia, although you won't find this particular term in the traditional dictionaries, is the fear of Islam. Why is Islam feared? Is it because people like myself and you are putting fear into the hearts of millions and millions of people? Or are there other reasons behind this? In the next few minutes, I want to discuss with you some of the reasons why this term Islamophobia is very common, why Islam and Muslims are feared. From the sources we learn that the fear of Islam and Muslims goes back a long way. In fact, to the time of the Crusades, when infidels, the Christians, used to sing songs declaring the Muslims as infidels. Non-Muslims, Western scholars have always had an interest in the study of Islam. Before, when they used to study Islam, they used to reject everything because anything outside Christianity was unacceptable. Later on, that which coincided with Christian doctrines and Christian beliefs, that was accepted, other theories were rejected. So right from the time of the Crusades, we learned that Muslims were declared as infidels, and these people used to sing songs to that effect. Another theory put forward by Zaki Badawi is that after the Soviet collapse and the Cold War, Europe has become nationalistic. And Islam in Western Europe is immigrant. And because Europe is now anti-immigrant, that's why there is a lot of deliberate fear of Islam and Muslims put into the hearts and minds of people. Another theory, which has been put forward by Edward Said in his work Orientalism, is that Western colonial powers have always wanted to rule over Muslim lands and Islamic countries. That is why we have the example of the French forbidding the use of the Chador and also abolishing the usage of the Arabic language. We learn in history, I'm not talking about the recent issue of the prohibition of hijab, we're talking historically. James Compton Bockmere, the reason why I'm quoting these people is that you know that these are the people who are putting these views forward. This is not my own view. James Compton Bockmere, he feels that there are several reasons why this could be the case. One reason he puts forward is that there is a lack of understanding. Nobody really understands Islam. Therefore, if you don't understand Islam, the best thing to do is to condemn it. However, Rana Kabbani, a convert to Islam, she says that this theory cannot be an adequate one because there's so much authentic material available in all languages, especially English language, written by Muslims, converts to Islam, as well as non-Muslims that reflect on the religion very, very fairly. So this theory that there is a lack of education, lack of understanding, cannot be accepted. Another theory which he puts forward is that there is a lot of Jewish influence, but he himself regards this to be a misconception. There could be some truth in it, but universally this probably cannot be accepted. A theory which he prefers is the fact that the Western people are capitalists. And because Muslims and Islam stands for equality, social equality, and this contradicts the American socio-economic system, therefore especially people in America and the West are anti-Islamic. Nevertheless, there is no doubt in the fact that Islamophobia is a common phenomenon and it is on the increase day by day. And this is done in many different ways. Starting right with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now you may be surprised that there is so much work on Islam and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam written by non-Muslim scholars that you will be baffled. Hundreds and thousands of works. Probably if I were to say to you which seerah book is worthy of mention, then you may say one written by Haykal, one written by Maulana Abul Hasan Nadawi, one written by Shibli Nomani. But there are so many other works written by Orientalists, non-Muslim scholars studying Islam aspects of Islam, studying about the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And although they don't condemn the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam outright, some of the things that they write in there are unbelievable. Ignaz Golzia is supposed to be their leading figure. He in the beginning starts to praise Islam and Muslims. And he says that I liked Islam and I liked the Muslims. He was a Hungarian. He is their leading figure. So what they would do is that they would try and condemn the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They would say, na'udhu billah. He would have fits of epilepsy and he would claim that he is receiving revelation, na'udhu billah. So in this particular manner, if they were to condemn the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in essence, they would be condemning the Holy Quran. And that people would doubt the Holy Quran, its authenticity, whether it was a revelation from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So it starts right from there, from a theological perspective. Maybe not so much effort is made in that respect that is coming to our attention. Mostly the issues that come in front of us is what we see and hear from the media sources. In the media, we learn that there are certain terms exclusively used for Islam and Muslims. We have fundamentalism, we have extremism or extremists, fundamentalists, barbarism. All these terms are exclusively used for Muslims and Islam today. We may cry and say that we are being oppressed. But what really is needed is we need more Muslim representation in the media and the press. Some are of the opinion that only a few are responsible for creating this image, but others say that it is a general issue and everybody is involved in this. Anything said against the Jews is considered to be anti-Semitic. Anybody says anything against the blacks, then that is considered to be racism. But Islam is fair game. Nobody is going to say anything. Nobody is going to react. Whether it is an ordinary newspaper or quality newspaper, whether it's quality press, ordinary press, everybody is involved. Whether it's the radio, whether it's the television, whether it's entertainment, Islamophobia is rising day by day. Kim Horner, who is a presenter for one of the Dallas news programs, she relates a story about a particular man. He said that on the news, all I see, that man is saying, all I see is terrorists running around everywhere. And that is the picture that person has of Muslims. People around us may see us. They may not know what Muslims are. They probably know how they live. But people in different areas where they don't have access to Islam and Muslims, they're having these negative pictures portrayed to them. Negative images. Rana Kabbani, as I mentioned, a convert to Islam, she says that Vanity Fair came to her for an article on Islam. And she says that I mentioned so many good things about the religion, and when she saw the published article, it was completely distorted. Not only that, furthermore, she says that she also read an article in which it was claimed that the Deobandi school of thought, believe women to be the source of evil. And she, obviously not well versed with all the different sects, she says, I had some knowledge of the Deobandi school of thought, and I knew for a fact that they did not believe that. Never mind Rana Kabbani, a convert and a reaver to Islam. Annie Besant, an academic in the 1930s, writes that the Western world and the British people are now acknowledging the rights of women in this particular era. 20 years ago, Islam had given rights to women over 1400 years ago. It is Islam that gave rights to women. Before the advent of Islam, women did not have any rights. She was just a commodity, a property that could be passed around. She had no rights of divorce. When she was divorced, there was no such thing as the idda, the waiting period. There was no such thing as the maintenance. And if there was, it was all barbaric. The son would inherit the women of the father. In fact, it is Islam that gave women the dignity. She did not have the right to own anything. It was Islam that gave her the right to own whatever she possessed. The husband had no right over what she owned. And this is something which the Western world recognizes about 1400 years later. And constantly in the media, they are trying to degrade the position of Muslims and especially Muslim women. Muslim women are oppressed. They are compelled to wear the hijab. They make these assumptions, they come to these conclusions without wanting to ask Muslim women themselves. Those who wear the hijab, I have not come across one single woman, one single Muslim female who has said that she has been forced to wear the hijab and she does not like doing so. I do not know how they come to these conclusions. Maybe they may have feminists putting forward their views. But all Muslim women, I'm sure, even in this country and in the West, they are proud to wear the veil. And they are proud to wear the hijab. There is no compulsion whatsoever. In universities and colleges, alhamdulillah, you will see more and more females in their hijab and in their veils. They do not know how to stop it. And that is why, I presume, they've seen this in France and have taken a stance. So Muslim women aren't oppressed. Muslim women have full rights. It is the Western women that don't have rights. They are misused. They are oppressed. They are exploited. Muslim women are full of modesty. They have dignity. Non-Muslim women, Western women, they have no dignity. They are abused everywhere. Prostitution is a pre-Islamic phenomenon. Artificial insemination is a pre-Islamic phenomenon. Even in this particular day, the way abortions take place, where a catheter is put into the womb and it splits the head open. And this is in the name of civilization. This is supposed to be civilized. Women walking naked without any clothes. This is civilized. But a woman in modest clothing covering herself is termed as barbaric, as oppression. If we study this issue, we will learn that even in the Christian and Jewish traditions, the veil was regarded very sacred. Even there, women used to wear the hijab. So they try and target Muslim women and say that they do not have any rights. They are subservient. But they do not check the statistics to find out who is embracing Islam more, males or females, in the Western world. If they do research that, they will learn that females are embracing Islam more than their male counterparts. They will then say that these people who are embracing Islam, they come from deprived areas. Like in America, they come from the Bronx. Like in Britain, they come from Brixton. But that is totally unjustified as well, because we will learn that even from the elite class, there are many, many people embracing Islam. We will have lords, we will have barons, we will have statesmen, politicians, lawyers, barristers, teachers, academics, all embracing Islam. Not only people from socially deprived areas. And not only from certain countries, you will have people embracing Islam in the USA, in Britain, in Sweden, in Poland, in Europe, and beyond. So Islam is appealing to non-Muslims. It is the fastest growing religion. And most of all, women are willing to embrace Islam more than anybody else. And that is because there is no oppression and compulsion on the Muslim women. So this is a reflection of how Islam is portrayed. If we go further, we will learn that once in the Daily Telegraph in Britain, Prince Charles said that Islam does not threaten the West. At that particular moment, there was a heading in the Daily Telegraph which says that Prince Charles is wrong, Islam does threaten the West. The Oklahoma bombings, which took place straight away, when anything goes wrong, the name of Islam comes in. But we don't take into consideration in the Western world, I'm just talking about the Western world, when atrocities occur, such as AIDS, we don't say that this epidemic is prevalent in a Christian society. When rapes take place, we do not say that this is happening in a Jewish society. When murders are taking place, how many tens of people will have been murdered just in Canada while we've been sitting here? Within minutes, people are being killed. Nobody says that Christians are committing these atrocities, these murders. All different crimes are taking place in the Western world and the non-Western world, but nobody gives it a religious affiliation, except when it comes to Islam. That's when the name Islam comes in. That's when the Muslims come in. Terrorism, Muslims. We just want people to know that Islam is a religion of peace, Muslims are peaceful people. Muslims are law-abiding people. Muslims are good people, God-fearing people. The tenets and doctrines of Islam cannot be equaled by the tenets and doctrines of any other religion. They are completely pure. They're completely in concordance with nature. They do not contradict nature in any aspect or form. But we are not getting fair portrayal. And that is why I recited at the beginning, يُرِيدُونَ أَن يُطْفِئُوا نُورَ اللَّهِ بِأَفْوَاهِهِمْ وَيَعْبَى اللَّهُ إِلَّا أَن يُتِمَّ نُورَهُ وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْكَافِرُونَ. That Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, inshallah, one day will ensure that the light of Islam will become victorious. Because oppression cannot last forever. When an oppressed person turns to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, that is something which Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala likes. And He does not like the oppressor. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ الظَّالِمِينَ. So this oppression cannot remain forever. But as Muslims, we have our duties as well. Now all this false reporting, it is just no good saying, oh, we are being condemned, we are being vilified, we are being oppressed. And when we are in our gathering, we discuss this, have you heard about this and have you heard about that? We have to practically try and change this in a good fashion. Not in a violent way, in a good fashion. Education, journalism, enlisting journalists into the mainstream media positions is also a way forward. We complain that we do not have a fair representation, we do not have fair portrayal of our faith, but at the same time, we do not have sufficient representation in the media. How can people talk about Muslims in a fair way when everybody in the media are anti-Islamic? Have good Muslims go into the media and ensure that when there is a portrayal of Islam, it is a positive one, not a negative one. Because negative portrayal has its effects. September 11, I don't know whether you felt it here, after that in Great Britain and America, there were so many attacks on Muslims. So many Islamic institutes were attacked. So many Muslims were attacked. Just a few weeks ago, a few female students were walking from their college to their homes. And on the way, a man, a white man, attacked one of the girls, pulled her veil and swore at her and said, take this off and go back to your country. Now obviously, the ordinary person who is not well versed with the Islamic tradition will not know about Islam. A true reflection is necessary. So my dear respected ulama-i kiram, brothers and elders, it is our duty, collectively, individually, to try and portray Islam in the way it should be portrayed. Islam is a religion of peace. Islam derives from the word which means peace. And therefore, it is our duty to try and maintain that and portray that to the wider community. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور. اللهم صل على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم عليه. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه اللهم ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا يا مولانا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه نبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذك منه نبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم أنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا ومولانا محمد وآله وأصحابه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.